Matthew chapter 7, we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to read from verse 7. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, notice what the Bible says there. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, notice this phrase here, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning and we're so thankful once again for this sermon that you preached over 2,000 years ago. We're so thankful, Father, that it's packed with a lot of wonderful things that we could learn and be admonished with. And here, Father, we see a wonderful invitation to your children. We ask, Father, this morning if there be anyone here that can't say that, they can't say that they're your children, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and that you would communicate your word to them. And for those that are, for those that are sure, for those, Father, have called upon your name and know you and you know them, Father, I pray that you'd help us to continue to be dependent upon you in all things as a son does a father. Father, help us to understand this. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage reveals the heart of the Heavenly Father. It's a tremendous, tremendous passage that communicates to every single one of us how God desires a relationship with us. He, Christ, is addressing his disciples and getting their attention to understand their Father, which is in heaven, wants to bless them with good things. And hence calls them with a threefold invitation. He calls them to ask, to seek, and to knock. And before we get into this message, we need to understand a couple of things. And first thing we need to understand is the fact that he is speaking to his children. He is the Heavenly Father that speaks to his children. Not everyone that is born into this world is a child of God because of sin. We were born in iniquity, the Bible says. We were born separated from God. We are his people. And that it is his plan is to save his people from their sins. And then once a person gets saved, they become a child of God. Amen. The Bible says in John 1, but as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I was preaching at Faith Baptist Church last week and there were a father and son that came up to me at the end of the service. And they said, oh, we were both encouraged and challenged by the message. I preached on no man can serve two masters. Now, because of me knowing their mother and discipling, both Janet and I discipled his mother and his wife, I knew the history of the fact that both of them weren't really saved. And that her prayer was for both of her husband and for her son to be saved, to become a child of God. And to this day, she still tells me, please pray for them. I said to them, before you could make him your master, you need to make him your savior. Amen. There's no way in the world that you can choose him to be your Lord before you make him your savior. A person needs to be saved to become a child of God and to have him become our Heavenly Father. That's the first thing that we need to understand, that he is speaking to his children. And we need to understand that if you're not a child of God here today, you can be. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, he was speaking to a very religious man. He was a man endued with knowledge, a man that knew the Torah, the Old Testament, a man that was religious, but it was lost. He had not yet known the knowledge of God, which is Christ. He would have had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And so Jesus says to him, ye must be born again, and explains later on how he can be born again. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And anyone that looks to Christ will live. Anyone that trusts, in other words, the Savior, and the Savior alone will live and become a child of God, and hence can call him Abba Father. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the greatest thing about the Christian life, isn't it? Isn't it? That we can call our God Father. I don't know any religion that do that. I don't know any religion that I've explored or heard about that can call their God their Heavenly Father. But we can. Because that's the God of what we heard about, the deep, deep love of Christ. That's the love of God. And over here, we see it demonstrated by this invitation to seek Him, to ask of Him, to persistently be dependent upon Him. I want you to see in first place now the call, the invitation. Ask in verse 7, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. The unwavering invitation of the Heavenly Father. A threefold call. You can say this is the three ways in which we can approach God in prayer. Each one is significant and has its own meaning, but it still relates to the approaching, if you will, to the Heavenly Father. Each one is a different word, as you see, but has a significant meaning. And so we first want to look at the word ask. He says, and he invites us to ask. Now, this will indicate to us and remind us of the boldness or the confidence that we have in approaching the Heavenly Father. Remember what the Hebrew writer said? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Man, that's wonderful. We can come and talk to God through Jesus Christ. We can approach God in Jesus' name. I mean, that's a relationship, isn't it? That's something that it's intimate, that we can go directly to God and approach Him directly. And we see that as we have this thought of asking, it's a thought of communicating. In other words, God is saying, Jesus is saying that you need to communicate with God. Ask of God. Look at, talk to God. The first typifies this relationship that God wants with us to be intimate. The rest are following this, and we'll see it later on in the conclusion of asking, of communicating and talking with God. That's the whole thrust of it. And we see now, as the children of God, what are we asking God for? What is it that God wants us to ask Him for? Now we see, if you look at James chapter 1 verse 5, you know that one, it's on the screen. And it says here, if any of you lack wisdom, and we all lack, don't we? We all lack wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that give to all men liberally, freely, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. See this wonderful, again, James is no doubt echoing the Sermon on the Mount, that we need to ask God if we lack wisdom. Now, can I just say, what are some of the things that will hinder us from coming to God in prayer, in little things and big things? Why is it that we are not prone to approach God? Can anyone help me this morning? What would stop us? Why is it at times God is the last resort, and when we seek or when we ask something of Him, wisdom, counsel, why is it that we simply don't think of God straight away? Yes. Okay, pride is one of them. Good. Anyone else? Yep.
Lack of trust.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Yes? The flesh gets in the way? Yeah. We were prone, because of the flesh, to be independent, aren't we? We want to do it. We want to fix it. We want to work it out. In the flesh, that's how we're born. We'll take care of it, you know. distractions. Okay, I think one of, yes. Okay, lack of dependence. Yes.
Things get in the way.
Yes. Many things get in the way, yeah. Yeah, when, okay, good. That's good. We haven't made it custom that we go to God first. And we're talking even about little things in our lives. What about this? We know that it could be, because we know majority of the time God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And deep down we know if we take this to God, He may give us something that we really don't want, we're not ready to do. We're not really ready to let go and do it this way. We still want to, we love doing it this way. Or it could be sin in our lives. I think that's probably the biggest one. You hit the nail on the head by saying pride, the sin of pride. And the Lord said, if I regard, the psalmist said, iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not what? Hear me. Another thing I would say is perhaps we're foolish at times. We would not seek God because we just are not wise enough to consider that He is the source of all wisdom. We just sometimes say silly things, do silly things, resort to other foolish things. And so this is what Spurgeon said. I do not think that God's people often go astray in the most difficult cases. For they do not take them, for they do take them to the Lord in prayer. It is the simple matters that we make our greatest blunders, because we think we know what to do, and therefore we do not wait upon the Lord for guidance. And I think that's true, isn't it? We at times run to the Lord when something really big has affected our lives, and so we should. But what Spurgeon is talking about is we need to go to the Lord in the simple matters, in everyday matters, simple things. And sometimes we make a decision without seeking the Lord. I remember in the Old Testament, Joshua did that, and it specifically said he did not seek counsel of the Lord, and he paid the consequences for that. And so we see that the wise thing to do is that we'd ask God for His wisdom in every matter, in every area of our lives. Now notice, the second one is seek. Now, this is to go to God earnestly, with all diligence. It's not just to ask, but to demonstrate, you know, a seriousness here. A seriousness. I am wanting to persist, or I want to do all that it takes to have God's wisdom and God's counsel in my life. It demonstrates the condition of our heart. How bad do we really want it? Now, let me try to illustrate this for a moment. Have you ever lost something and spent a very long time looking for it? Yeah. And then you go to some places where you know it won't be there, but you look there anyway. You know, you think, why am I looking here? There's no way. I know I haven't put it, but you seek the places that you'd never seek. And what about going to the same place about five times? You go for the main place that you think you know where it should be, you visit it about five times, and then sure enough, it's probably under something that you thought where it was. And why do we seek it so much? Because perhaps it's something that we show worth to. Maybe you lost your keys, you can't get around without your keys. Something that matters. You will seek after anything that you show worth to. You will seek after. You will do all that it takes to find it. And so it is how God wants us to pray. That we would seek after until we get an answer from Him. This seeking is not just simply flippant. It's not casual. It's serious. And it means to inquire. The Strongs would say and would say to worship. Again, I believe it mentions that word because to show worth to seek after that which is dear to me. Now, as the children of God, once again, what are we seeking after? Now, we said wisdom, but also we seek after the wonders, if you will, of God. His beauty. We're seeking after the knowledge of God, of who He is and all that He is and all that He represents. The beauty of His divine nature, the beauty of His created hand, the beauty of the God of wonders. The psalmist said this in Psalm 105 verse 4, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Amen. Wow. Job said this, God, about God, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. The God of wonders cannot be numbered. Countless. The Songs of Solomon 5:16, His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Paul said in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past from finding out. You know what he is saying? There is so much beauty that God has for us to seek. And it will take all eternity to discover that beauty. I don't think eternity is not enough. Serious. To discover the beauty of God. He's altogether lovely. David said this in Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I, what's that word? Seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Wow. To be in the presence of God, to discover the beauty of God, to find the treasures of His character's holiness is altogether lovely. And we see the next one here is knock. As the children of God, why do we knock on heaven's doors? Why do we have our petitions put forward to God? And this is, I believe, for God to open up His will to us. So we seek God for His wisdom, for His wonders, and now for His will to be revealed to us. That God will make His ways known to us, that we would walk in them. That we would know what His will is, that we will do them. We knock on the divine door of opportunity that are in line with God's plan and purpose. The truth is, we shouldn't seek anything else other than the will of God. And that's the second thing I want you to understand about this passage. This is not, as someone said, a blank check to ask God for anything. Amen?
Amen.
It's got to be according to His will. Amen. And I missed the verse in the beginning, but the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, that's the phrase there, according to His will, He what? Heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. It's very important to understand that we want to have the God reveal His will to us. By the way, God doesn't want us to knock and run. How many of you now confess it? How many of you, when you were little, played knock and run on your neighbor's door? You ever done that? You go, you knock. This is not something for you to do if you haven't heard of it before. Kids. We used to go and knock and run. And we used to hide behind a tree or a fence and laugh, seeing the people, you know, come out like that. Now, God doesn't want us to knock and run. God wants us to knock and wait. He wants us to knock and wait for His will to be revealed to us. You say, how long do we wait for? Until He answers.
Amen.
Have you ever, it's you knock until someone opens the door, don't you? And God wants us to knock so He can open the door. You say, how long is that? 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. 1,000 years to us is like a day. as long as it takes. I am knocking for his best, and I'll wait. And waiting means faith. If you go back to James, have a look at James, in James chapter 1. Have a look at verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now notice this. But let him ask in what? Faith. That's believing that God will answer. Okay? So I'm knocking and waiting, believing that God will answer in whose time? Whose time? God's time. And sometimes we don't wait in faith because we want the answer now. But God wants us to wait on Him. And it's waiting and asking in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So to knock is to knock with faith, to wait on God's best. How long? Until God answers. Can I just say something? At times you know God has answered. And you know perhaps his will in a certain area, and it could be no. Stop knocking. Can I encourage you? Stop knocking. Because that very thing can delay the will of God in your life. Don't push doors open that God wants closed. Just wait on the Lord. Knock and wait until he answers. Later on, we'll see how this knocking, this definition would simply give us a better meaning, if you will, in Luke when we get there. But I want you to see in verse 8, not only the call, but notice now the consolation. If it's anything but a comfort that God answers prayer. He says in verse 8, for everyone that asketh, what? And he that seeketh? And to him that knocketh, shall be open. I don't know about you, but they're the threefold promises. God is saying, if you ask, I'm going to give. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, the door will be opened. They're threefold promises. These are the unfailing promises of the Heavenly Father. And I think one of a good illustration is found with King Solomon. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 3. Have a look at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, look at the invitation. Look at the invitation. Ask what I shall give thee. Wow. Ask what shall I give thee? The invitation. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him the great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Notice what he says here now. Give therefore, thy servant, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And notice verse 10, and this speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life for thy own enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Ask, and it shall be given. But he asked a good thing that pleased the Lord. And can I say something? You will not be disappointed when you're asking for the wisdom of God in your life. You will not be let down. You will not be disappointed. And over here we see a promise that God will give it. You just have to ask. And asking by faith and waiting upon the Lord, waiting for his best. And now look at verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Hence the book of Proverbs. Wow. The wisdom of God given to Solomon and then given to us through the unfailing word of God. Many times we asked for the wisdom of God to know how to propagate what we learn from the Proverbs or anything that we see in the Scriptures. And God will give us what we ask for according to his wisdom. Have a look at the next word there, find. Not only receive, but find. This reminds me of the disciples that were seeking after Jesus. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Have a look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, what did he say? What seek ye? What are you seeking after? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? What a heart. Wanting to seek where Jesus dwells. Wanting to be where God is. Wanting to be in the presence of God. Wanting to know more about Jesus. And the answer came, if you seek, you will find. Come and see. Yeah. Wow. Can I ask a question? Do you really want to see the wonders and beauty of God? Do we really want to see it? Do we really want to see his face and the beauty of his countenance as it shines upon us? And if we do, we need to follow and seek after him. We need to be followers of Christ as dear children, following him. And we would not be let down. By the way, that's a good following. Amen? A lot of people follow after different things, but that's a good following. And you would not be let down if you wholeheartedly, diligently, seeking after him. For the Bible says he's a rewarder of them. A rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. That's the answer to the prayer. You seek, you'll find. He'll reward us. He'll give to us. God, he wants to give to us. He wants to show us more of his beauty. He does. What a wonderful thing the proverb says here in Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall what? Find me. Early means first. Amen. God needs to be sought first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then we see in Psalm 34 verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How many? All. Praise the Lord. And then we see the third one, He opened. I think this is a wonderful illustration for this one would be in Luke 11. You want to turn to Luke 11, please? Luke 11. Have a look at verse 5 in Luke 11. Notice what the Bible says. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. In verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, the door is open. He will give him not because of he's his friend, but because of his importunity. Now, this word is a greater word than persistent. There's a greater word than just being persistent. This is, it's almost been relentless, unashamed on all accounts. There's no shame anymore. Go away, go away, we're asleep. It's a desperate, if you will, seeking. It's like what Jacob said, I will not let thee go to the angel of the Lord until you what? Bless me. How bad do you want God's will? How bad do we want the will of God to be revealed to us? The wisdom of God, the beauty of God, the wonders of God. And He's saying, relentlessly, like a beggar, please. Until He opens. This is not showing lack of faith. We're still waiting until God answers. But we're seeking the right source. We're knocking on the right door. And the Bible says He will open. He will give to us. Interesting what He needs. And we'll look at that in the next part. We're going to see here the comparison. Notice in verse 9 in Matthew chapter 7. Notice the comparison. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, love this phrase, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The comparison. Saying, you who are evil, you who are sinful, know how to bless your children. Know how to supply and give to them when they ask of you. You won't turn them away if they're asking for food. You won't turn them away if they're asking for bread. You will not in any way give them a stone. There's no way in the world that you'll give them a stone. You who are evil, know how to supply for your children. Know how to give to them. And by the way, giving to them good things. You who are sinful. And it says here, how much more your Father in heaven will give to them that ask Him. And we're talking about the Father in heaven, in Him that there is no darkness, full of light, no sin. By the way, we know how to give because of Him. We wouldn't know how to give if it wasn't for our Heavenly Father. You know, God is love. There's no comparison. There's no comparison between an earthly father and a heavenly father. God in heaven, our heavenly father, wants to give us more than our earthly father. By the way, it was him that gave us our earthly father. When I was being persecuted at home, and it was out of ignorance of my parents not knowing what was taking place, when I trusted Christ as my Savior and they had given me an ultimatum: if you continue to follow this way, get out of here. And I just said to them, I said, I love you, but I want to remind you something. God gave me you, and I'm going to honor God first. He's my Heavenly Father. And if any father here would be wise, you would teach your children to do the same. Amen. Honor God first. He's your Heavenly Father. Without Him, we would have no fathers. Without Him, we'd have nothing that our fathers will give us. How much more? He is the source of all provision. Everything comes from Him. Everything comes from God. We should never forget that. How much more? And then we see over here that the comparison between an evil father compared to a holy heavenly father, it doesn't match. There's a big difference. And can I just say this to you? The devil has not stopped to try to undermine God's love for us. Right from the beginning, right from get-go, he tried to undermine God's word and try to put in Eve's heart that God is holding back from you. Isn't that sad? And even to this day, we see many people have a false impression about God and His love for the world. Some people think that if God truly loved them, He will tolerate their sinful lifestyle and meet their expectations and fulfill their personal desires. Can I just say something? God's love is not based upon what we think we deserve or what we think we get from God. God's love is based upon who He is. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, we don't deserve anything from His hand. But He gives to us freely. Why? Because He loves us. He loves us. How much more does He want to give to us? More than a sinful father wants to give. The other day, a couple of days ago, Elisha was sitting. It was time to go to bed. And I think his mother tucked him in, but somehow he tucked himself out. That happens a few times. And during the night. And then all I can hear is him. It was cold, and he's just whining. What's that? I said, "What's wrong?" I walked in. He goes, "Oh, tuck me in." I said, "All you got to do is ask. I'll tuck you in." I said, "That's easy, you know." And sometimes I felt like that's how we are. We just we sook and we cry, and God says, "Just ask. I'll give to you. I love you. I want to comfort you. I want to take your fears away. Come on, just ask me. And ask in faith and ask believing." God, listen, God is for us. He's not against us. And the devil would have you to believe that God is against you. But He's not. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Please go there. Have a look quickly. Romans 8, verse 18. Look at this. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Don't even compare it, what we go through here on earth, what God has planned. But go to verse 32. Verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. Freely. But we need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. And like I said before, sometimes we don't and we do our own thing because we know our ways conflict with God's ways. And God is just going to supply our needs. And sometimes we fret against the Lord. Our heart frets against the Lord. But God is saying, I desire the best for you like any other earthly father, but more. Trust me. No father that lives on this earth should have any thought of doing evil. Notice the next part. Notice the next part, if you will. He, the verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks, verse 10, for if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? No evil father would want any evil things for his children. He wants good things. And by the way, I think that verse 10 just is a teaching for us that we can't eat snake. Amen? Yeah. The some scholars say, no, you know, some fish look like snake and he won't deceive his son and give him something different. God doesn't want to deceive us. God, how much more God wants the best for us if our earthly fathers will not do evil towards us and will not deceive us, how much more God, which is in heaven? I can't say it enough. God is for us. He's not against us. God wants the best, for us. And he knows, by the way, what's best for us. He knows for every single person in this room what's best for you. But then we see in Luke 11:13, this is another place Jesus preached on the same subject, but he gives us a little bit more information. He says, ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It's talking about the power of God in your life.
Amen.
This is something an earthly father cannot give. And earthly fathers are limited. But our Father in heaven is almighty, all-powerful. And he wants to give us his power. By the way, we cannot fulfill the Sermon on the Mount without his power. We can't live it out without his power. We cannot live out the wisdom that he gives us without the Holy Spirit. We can't see his beauty without the Holy Spirit. We cannot know his will and walk therein without his Holy Spirit. We need his power in our lives. We need the power of God in our lives, and God says, you ask and I'll give it freely. But how bad do we want it? How bad? How are we desperate? Are we do we knock on at all costs to have the power of God rest upon us? As we come to a closing, in reality, God is really calling for a son ship relationship. God wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father simply desires for us to be dependent upon him in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. God desires an intimate relationship with us. And like John mentions, behold, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of God. Man, if we got nothing but that, that will suffice us to be called his children. That we can just come and cry out, Abba, Father. Can I just say, that beats the mundane things in this life. Doesn't compare. Dung. That's what Paul said. I count all things but dung, rubbish, that I may win him and know him and share with his sufferings and know the what? Power of his resurrection. And that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. But God wants us to ask, seek, and knock relentlessly with all our heart. And he says, if you ask, he'll give it to you. If you seek, you'll find it. If you knock, God will open heaven's doors, will, as it is in heaven. He wants his will to be done here on earth. But how bad do we want it? The invitation is threefold. But the promises of God, don't forget this, is threefold. Isn't it a blessing?
Yeah.
How much more? Let that ring that in your ear. Let that be edged in your heart. How much more? Let's pray.